I want to talk about a number of difficulties which appear in this week's parasha. At the beginning of the parasha, towards the beginning of the parasha, the Torah lists the families of the Shvatim. The Torah then mentions who Aaron married, who Elazar ben Aaron married, who was the child of Elazar ben Aaron. And then the pasuk says the following: who Aaron and Moshe? This was Aaron and Moshe. Asher Omer Hashem Lohem, to whom the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Haitziu es b'nei Yisrael me eretz Mitzrayim al tivoisom. This was Moshe and Aaron, who the Ribbono Shel Olam said to them, take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And then the next pasuk continues and says, Haim, they were the ones, Hamadabrim el Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, who spoke to Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, Lahitzies B'nei Yisrael min Mitzrayim, to take the B'nei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, who Moshe v'Aaron. They were Moshe v'Aaron. This is Pasuk Kaf Vov and Pasuk Chaf Zayin of Perek Vov in Shmos, which appears in Parshas Vayera in this week's Parsha. So Pasuk Chaf Vov starts off, who Aaron v'Moshe? These were Aaron v'Moshe, who were the people that God told, who were the two people that God told him that they have to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So there it puts Aaron before Moshe. Right? There it goes, obviously, in order of age. Right? Aaron was older than Moshe, so Aaron is mentioned before Moshe. In the very next pasuk, the first pasuk says, these were the people who spoke to Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, Lahitzis Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, who? Moshe ve Aaron. It switches the order. At the end of the next pasuk, it changes round the order, and instead of putting Aaron before Moshe, it puts Moshe before Aaron. So why is it that in the first pasuk it puts Aaron before Moshe, and in the second pasuk it puts Moshe before Aaron? Now this question is a question which is raised by Chazal. And Rashi quotes the Chazal. And the Chazal say, and the source is a Tosefta at the end of Maseches Krisus, Chazal say the following: B'chol mokim hu makdim Moshe l'Aaron. Moshe is always mentioned before Aaron when Moshe and Aaron come together in a pasuk. U'b'mokim echod, and there's one place in the Torah, Hu'aimer, where the pasuk says, who Aaron and Moshe? And the Torah puts Aaron before Moshe. There's only one exception. It's always Moshe before Aaron, and there's one exception where it puts Aaron before Moshe, and that says the Tosefta is the pasuk Kaf Vav here in Perek Vav in this week's Parsha. Say Chazal, why? Melamed, this comes to teach us Sheshnehem Shkulim, that they were both shokel, they were equal. Moshe and Aaron were equals. Now, irrespective of how you're going to understand what it means that Moshe and Aaron were equals, however you're going to learn pshat that Moshe and Aaron were equals, Chazal still haven't answered one question. And that is, Chazal made a statement. In the entirety of the Torah, Moshe is put or mentioned prior to Aaron. And there's one exception where Aaron is mentioned prior to Moshe, and therefore the question arises, why is there one exception? To which Chazal answered that the one exception is to teach us that Moshe and Aaron were equals. But Chazal haven't explained why Dafka was this pasuk chosen to be the pasuk where Aaron is placed before Moshe in order to tell us that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim. If there are X amount of places in the Torah where Moshe and Aaron are mentioned together, and Moshe always comes before Aaron, and we need one place where Aaron should become before Moshe in order to tell us that they're shkulim, then theoretically, the Ribbono Shel Olam could have picked any pasuk and said, okay, here I'll write Aaron before Moshe in order to tell us, to be mechadish to us, that Moshe and Aaron were shkulim. Why dafka this pasuk? What is the significance of this pasuk? That this is the pasuk which tells us that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim, and that this is the pasuk where Aaron has to come before Moshe. So lichura, logic would dictate that the pshat is the following: we need a pasuk to tell us that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim. And the way in which the Torah is going to tell us that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim is by placing Aaron before Moshe in one exceptional pasuk. But it wasn't random. This pasuk was chosen because there's a reason why in this pasuk Aaron is mentioned before Moshe. There was an outside reason why Aaron had to be mentioned before Moshe in this pasuk. But once we already have a good reason why to mention Aaron before Moshe, then the Torah Taka writes Aaron before Moshe, and it tells us, as it were, by the way, or as a corollary of the fact that Aaron had to be written before Moshe in this pasuk for a specific reason, therefore we now know that Aaron and Moshe are shkulim. So if so, what we have to find is, what is the reason? Why is it that in this pasuk Aaron is written before Moshe? Why not the next pasuk? Why didn't the Torah do it the other way around? That's one question. The second question is a strange phenomena that we find in Sefer Shemois, particularly in this week's parasha and a little bit even in last week's parasha. Sorry. And that is, sometimes when talking about going out of Egypt, sometimes the Torah uses the expression Yitzias Eretz Mitzrayim, going out of the land of Egypt. Yitzias Eretz Mitzrayim. In Parshas Vayera, Lahitzias B'nei Yisrael, we just saw, Me Eretz Mitzrayim. Who Aaron and Moshe, Shema Hashem Lohem, Mitzvus B'nai Yisrael, Me Eretz Mitzrayim. We find another pasuk earlier, pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayedaba Hashem and Moshe Vel Aaron, Vayitzavim El B'nai Yisrael Vel Parim Melech Mitzrayim, Lohitzies B'nai Yisrael, Me Eretz Mitzrayim. On the other hand, we sometimes find that the Torah uses the expression Lahitzias B'nai Yisrael Mimitzrayim without the word Eretz. In other words, sometimes it says Lahitzias Am Yisrael Me Eretz Mitzrayim, and sometimes it says Lahitzias Am Yisrael Mimitzrayim. And if you look through the parasha, you'll see that it switches. Sometimes it's Mitzrayim, sometimes it's Eretz Mitzrayim. Why? What's the difference between Mitzrayim and Eretz Mitzrayim? Thirdly, in Parshas Vayechi, the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu told his children prior to his death, "V'hine anochi meis v'hayali kimimochem v'heishiv eschem el eretz aviseichem." I am going to die. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you. And we're all sitting now in Egypt. Don't worry about it, because V'heishuv eschem el Eretz Aviseichem, God is going to take you out of here and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the fact that there was going to be a redemption from Mitzrayim, that there was going to be a Geula from Mitzrayim, was something which they knew about whilst they were still in Mitzrayim. And in fact, Chazal say that when things got tough in Mitzrayim, they comforted themselves by saying that there's going to come a Goyal who's going to take us out of here, and we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Because they knew, in other words, the Shvatim, they knew, Yaakov Avinu told them this clearly before they died, that the Heishiv Eschem El Eretz Aviseichem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take you back to Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, Yosef, prior to his death, what does Yosef say to his brothers? Anochi Meis, I'm going to die. Ve'elikim pokoid yifkoid eschem ve'hele eschem min Eretz Hazos. So the brothers heard it twice. Once they heard it from Yaakov. Then they heard it again from Yosef. So they knew that they were going to get redeemed from Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, there's a chazal, a medrash. And the medrash says, Kach hoyo meseires biyodom. The Shiftei Kor had a tradition. Miyakov. And this tradition already started from Yaakov. She Yaakov Moser es asoid li Yosef. And Yaakov told over this sod, the secret, to Yosef. The Yosef, and Yosef told over this secret le'echov to his brothers. And Osher ben Yaakov, he told over this secret to his daughter. Who was his daughter? Seraph Bas Asher. Va'adayin ho'isahi kayemes, and she was still around in Mitzrayim. So she knew this secret, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had promised that Klal Yisrael would be redeemed from Mitzrayim. But what's the expression that Chazal used? The expression Chazal used is that it was a secret. In other words, we have Mamore Chazal, which tell us that Yaakov told his brothers, his children, and whoever else happened to have been there at the time, right? We don't know who was there at the time, don't worry about the fact that you're here in Mitzrayim, you're going to get redeemed. Yosef told his brothers and whoever else was around there, and I presume that Menashe Ephraim were also around there, I presume. Don't worry about it, you're going to get redeemed. And then there's a Maimah Chazal, which we mentioned once in the past, that they had Megillos. They had manuscripts, which was written there, the fact that they were going to be redeemed. And when things got really tough, and on Shabbosim, when they didn't have to work, they used to take out these Megillos and read them to comfort themselves, to themselves, that it's not so terrible because the end is near. And here all of a sudden Chazal turn around and say, no, this was a big secret. When Yaakov told it over to his children, it was a secret. And it was such a secret that only one of the children of Yaakov, who heard this from his father and heard this from his brother Yosef, told it over to his son. To his daughter. And she knew the secret. Serach Bas Asher, she knew the secret, nobody else. It was a secret, it wasn't a secret. Everybody knew, everybody didn't know, and you have to let a group of people knew. It's not very clear. And finally, something very strange. We find that in reference to the 7 days of Pesach, in next week's parasha, in Parshas Bo, when the Torah is talking about Chag HaPesach, which is the Chag which commemorates what? Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says the following. B'yayim HaRishon Mikra Kodesh. U'b'yayim HaShvi Mikra Kodesh. So the first day of Pesach is Mikra Kodesh. And the last day of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach, is Mikra Kodesh. In reference to Sukkos, we find that the Torah says, and this is in Sefer Vayikra, the Torah says, B'yayim ha rishon mikro kodesh. And the following 6 days are not mikre kodesh, they're not Yom Tov. What are they? The Chol HaMoed. Then the Torah says, B'yayim ha shmini mikro kodesh. But the Gemara says, Shmini rego bifnei atzmai. Shmini Atzeres has nothing at all to do with Sukkos. It's an independent Yom Tov. And because it's an independent Yom Tov, he gets all the dinim of an independent Yom Tov. They got all sorts of things. And on Shmini Atzeres, we're not noeg the mitzvahs of Sukkos. Why? Because Shmini Atzeres isn't Sukkos. There's nobody in the world who sits in a Sukkah and Simchas Torah. Right? Shmini Atzeres, because it's a Sofik, but we don't know what day it is, right? But if we definitely know what day it is, like here in Eretz Yisrael, well, we definitely know, right? Nobody sits in Shmini Atzeres in the Sukkah here, why? Because it's not Sukkos. Sukkos is over, Sukkos is finished. You don't take a hold of an Esrog on Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres is a Chag Bifnei Atzmo, which means the following, that we have 2 Yomim Tovim, which are 7-day Yomim Tovim. One is Pesach, and one is Sukkos. The first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, they are days of Yom Tov. The other days are Chol HaMoed. We have a 7-day Yom Tov called Sukkos. The first day is Yom Tov. The rest is completely Chol HaMoed. There is no Yom Tov at the end. Why not? What's the difference? So I want to suggest something. It's a chiddush. But it's an idea. We already mentioned, Yosef said to his brothers, Anochi meis, I am going to die, ve'elokim pokoid yifkoid eschem, and hele eschem min ho'oretz hazois. Now that was the language that Yosef used in reference to what he was telling his brothers. If you look in the English translations, who all of them have a problem, which in fact Chazal had, of this double expression, pokeid yifkoid. So the English translation is all translated, and it's based on a source. It's not out of the midair, it's a source. The way they always translate double expressions that appear in the Torah. Surely. An emphasis. Pokoid yifkod. The Ribbono Shel Olam will surely remember you. And the reason why there's a double expression is because it's to emphasize the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam will indeed remember you. So too, we find a repetition of the same phrase in Shmos. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich v'asafta ziknei Yisrael v'malto aleihem Hashem elekei avi yiseichem nira elai elekei Avrom Yitzchok v'Yaakov leimor pokoid pokadati eschem. The same double expression. So twice, the Torah uses this double expression of pokeid pokadati. And the Mefarshim ask, why the double expression pokeid pokadati? To which indeed there are Mefarshim who say that the double expression pokeid pokadati is emphasis, and that's where the English translations got there surely from. It's emphasis. However, what's the problem that they have? What's God remembering? Remembering the promise that He will redeem you from Mitzrayim, He will liberate you from Mitzrayim. So the problem that the Mefarshim has is, why a double expression of liberation? To which some of the Mefarshim say, simply emphasis, that there really will be. It's a definite thing. The Torah is trying to emphasize that there's definitely going to be a Geula. However, there is a Chazal which is brought in a Medrash which says something which is very strange. And the Medrash says the following: Meseires Geula hi biyodom. This was a tradition that they had. Kol goyel sheyovoy. If a redeemer will turn up, somebody will come and declare, I was sent by God to redeem you. V'yoyim elohem p'kido kfulo. And he will use a double expression of pekido, goyel shel emeshu. That is the sign that he is the real Messiah, that he is the true goyel. And that's why, obviously, the Ribbono Shel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go to Klal Yisrael, say vasavta zikne Yisrael v'amalta alehem, that the God of Avram, Yisrael, Yaakov appeared to me and told me to tell you pokeid pokadati. Because that's the siman. He had to say the double expression of pokeid pokadati. What was this, a code? If it was a code, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo could have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, or given a tradition to Klal Yisrael, the guy who comes to redeem you, and he uses the sentence which has the word in it, mousetrap, he's the real Messiah. Or he could have gone even further. The guy who comes to redeem you, work out every seventh letter that he said. And it is Shem Havaya, you know, that he's the goyel. And it would have given Parnassa to a lot of Yidden, would have made computer programs to work out how you work out. 13th letter, 7th letter, 6th letter, 5th letter. What is this concept of a double pekida? Lichura, the geula from Mitzrayim contained within it two aspects. On the one hand, Am Yisrael had to be redeemed from the Golos in Mitzrayim, which expressed itself in the fact that they were avodim there, that they were slaves there. So pshuto kimashmoy was the freeing of the slaves. Golos Mitzrayim was from slavery to freedom. However, in addition, Yetzias Mitzrayim was also another redemption. It was a redemption of taking Klal Yisrael out of a prior category and putting them into a new category. Prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael were a nation. They weren't even a nation prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe they were a clan. Maybe they were groups of people were called at that period of time. But they were no different than probably, and in fact the Torah lists, tens or more of groups, right? I don't know, tribes. Right? Although I don't like using the expression tribes because some people get confused with Shvatim. But Yetzias Mitzrayim created a new Metzias. Metzias Mitzrayim created a situation where Klal Yisrael now became the chosen people. Even though that is probably not the correct translation. They became Am Segula. Am Segula means a singular nation, unique nation. In other words, the Ribbono Shel'Olam chose them from amongst all the other units of people that existed in the world in order to give them Torah and Mitzvahs. The whole point of taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt was in order to take them to Har Sinai that they should be Mekabel Torah. So the whole function and the whole purpose and the whole objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalas HaTorah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, Boitzicha Esa'ol Mimitzrayim Ta'avdun Esa'ol Ikim El Ahar Azeh. He's saying, B'Shem HaRabbeinu Shem, when I take you out of Mitzrayim, it is in order to become Avdei Hashem at that mountain where you're going to be Mekabel Torah. So when God says, in reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, a double expression, the Pocket Yifked is talking about two Pekidas. It's talking about Avdus Lecheiras, and it's talking about the choice of Klal Yisrael as being this singular, this unique nation which is going to be Mekabel Torah. Until Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael were the only nation in the entire world at that point in time that was singled out negatively as opposed to any other nation, because it was the only nation that was actually in exile. It was the only nation that had no land of its own. It had no independent rule over itself. And it was the only nation that was actually, as an entirety, enslaved by a different nation. Nature is such that when one nation is exiled from its homeland and finds itself without independent rule and finds itself in a situation of total subservience and total slavery to another nation, which is much more powerful than they are, because otherwise the other nation wouldn't have been able to enslave them. And it lives in the location of that nation which is enslaving them. It cannot survive. It doesn't have a chance of survival. Any nation which is without its own land and without its own government and subservient to another nation will, at the end of the day, totally assimilate into the nation where it's being placed into servitude and doesn't remain as an independent nation. Because the place where you are becomes a melting pot. That is the Metzias of Golus. That the country which you're in becomes a melting pot and you become part and parcel of the society which you are. You may be a second-rate citizen, you may be a slave, but you become part and party of that society. And the truth of the matter is that to a great degree that's what happened when Klal Yisrael became enslaved in Mitzrayim. Because Chazal tell us, Kishemes Yosef, the minute that Yosef died, Hefiru Yisrael Bris Mila, V'omru Niyeh K'Mitzrayim. They said, that's it. Kol's mom, we had Yosef, and we were living in Goshen. Everything was fine. We had our own little independent, autonomous area within Mitzrayim. But now that there is no Yosef anymore, if we want to survive, the only way we can survive is to become completely and totally assimilated within Egyptian society. And this is the normal desire of any minority that exists within a country of a nation which is stronger than that minority and which is larger than that minority. That's nature. That's the way it works. Look at the world. You see it all over the place. Because otherwise, you remain your entire life an outsider. If you don't submerge within the society, then you remain the whole time an outsider with a feeling of being an outsider. And you don't want to be an outsider. Because even if you do, for whatever reason it may be, want to retain something of the culture of the place where you came from, it becomes secondary. You don't remain an Italian in America. You become an Italian-American. You don't remain an African in America. You become an African-American of colored skin. That's Vusep is an African-American. Vusep is an Italian-American. Vusep is an Irish-American. Well, Irish-American, you're an Irish drunk. What's up with an Irish-American? Because I'm not Irish, I'm American. I drink like an Irishman, so I've got to retain the Irish culture. So as far as drinking is concerned, I'm an Irishman. That's the nature of minorities who go to countries where they remain a minority. The fact that the entirety of Klal Yisrael didn't have this feeling that in order to survive they have to assimilate and they have to be like the Egyptians. The fact that there were those who managed to withstand this was because they had a belief that they weren't going to have to stay here. They weren't emigrating to Mitzrayim. There was going to come somebody who was going to take them out of there. Whether you assimilate into Egyptian society or you didn't assimilate into Egyptian society was interdependent on how much you had in emunah in the geula. The fact that there was an emunah, a belief that there would be a geula, that's what kept Klal Yisrael going in Mitzrayim despite all the difficulties. Because they were waiting for the Yom Pekudoso. Therefore, say Chazal, in reference to a large number of them, Lo Shinu Es Lashonam, Lo Shinu Es Malbushom, they didn't change their language, they didn't change their style of dress, Lo Bitlu Es Amila. Why? As opposed to those who immediately after the death of Yosef were made Feiru Bris and said, Niyu K'Mitzrayim. Because it depended on how much you were a believer in the fact that we're not here to stay. Because the minute you felt that you were here to stay, then by nature you were going to do as much as possible not to be a minority in a majority, but to be part of the majority. And in fact, Chazal say this very clearly. When Chazal say in the Mechilta that Lo Niglu Aviseinu Mitzrayim, that the only reason why Klal Yisrael were able to be nigal from Mitzrayim was Bischus ha'emuna. Because they were ma'aminim. I would dare to suggest that there was a big difference in the belief in the geula of the Hamoin Am and the belief in the geula of a select few. In other words, even within the camp of those who did have a stronger emuna that there was going to be geula, it divided up into two groups. There was the Hamoin Am, and then there was a select few. Therefore, there was a big difference in the way in which they related to Moshe Rabbeinu, who came as the shliach to beguile them. Most of Klal Yisrael, who even believed in Geula, I would venture to suggest that they believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was a goyel in reference to redeeming them from Avdus Techeiros. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come as the goyel, and he was going to take them out of Golas, he was going to take them to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael they would be living in a free democratic society in their own land. And they would be no different than any other nation that lives as a free democratic society in its own land. They would be k'chol ha'goyim. In other words, they would be like anybody else. But they didn't occur to them the concept of Am Segula. Why? Because the whole concept of Am Segula didn't exist. It was a totally new concept that nobody had ever thought of beforehand. That God was going to come and choose a certain group of people and give a certain group of people an objective and a mission that nobody else in the world has. That was something which hadn't happened yet in the history of mankind. And it wasn't something that somebody could think up from his own mind. Why should a person think this out of his own mind, that this is something that's going to happen? Therefore they had no idea about this, and it didn't even cross their minds, this. Therefore, that pekida, that second pekida, that didn't occur to them at all. On the other hand, there were a select group of people. This select group of people, they saw Moshe as being the goyel shel emes. They saw Moshe as being the real goyel and the true goyel. Why? Because over and above that he was going to take them out of Avdus to Cheirus, he was also going to raise them up spiritually through being the vehicle that was taking them out of Mitzrayim in order that they should be Mekabel Torah and Mitzvahs. The Ziknei Ador, headed by Serah Bas Osher, they knew this side, they knew this secret, that there's two pekidas. There's a pekida me'avdus lecheiris, and there's a pekida of matan Torah. They understood that there's a concept of becoming a memeleches kohen in v'gei kodesh, and therefore they waited until somebody would turn up and say, pokei pokadati, I'm here to do both things. I'm here for both pekidas. And then they knew that that was the goel ha'amiti. On what basis am I saying this? I'm saying this on the basis of a chazal. Because chazal say, afal pi shekosuv kfar, even though the pasuk says that Heminu Yisrael Ad Shahayu B'Mitzrayim, because the pasuk says Ve'yem Anam Chazru V'Loi Heminu Shenema V'Yiseinu B'Mitzrayim Lo Yiskilu Nifla Yisecha. However, Kiven Shebo El Ayom, when they got to the sea V'Ro, and they saw Gvurosa Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyad V'Yeminu B'Hashem, ubischus ha'emuna, which was at that point in time shos aleihem ruach hakodesh ve'omru shira. What's the pasuk saying? The people believed Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I'm coming to be goy of you." They believed him. But when he said to them the additional factor, namely, that after he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim, he's going to take them to Har Sinai, and there they're going to become an Am Hashem, and they're going to become an Am Skula, that part they didn't believe. Why? As Chazal say, because it was difficult for them to be Poyrish from Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? All Avodah Zarah. I don't think it means that they were Avodah Zarah. I think it means it was difficult for them to see their objective in life, to see their function in life different than any other nation. Yeah, we have to be an independent nation in our own land, but more than that, they couldn't see. In other words, they couldn't be purged from the Avodah Zarah of what was the existing understanding of what is the purpose and the function of a nation, is to live in its own land and to be free and to be independent. But this extra concept of Torah and Mitzvahs, that's something which they couldn't understand. This concept of being different from the Goyim, this concept of being an Am Kodesh. Once they came to the Yam and they saw the Gevuras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Yam, then they were willing to be Mekabel that. And if we learn Pshat like this, then everything fits perfectly. Why? Because Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, doesn't refer to a geographical location. Mitzrayim doesn't mean the land of Egypt. Mitzrayim means the nation of Egyptians. V'hine Mitzrayim noseya achareihem. They're standing by the Yam and they turn around and they see V'hine Mitzrayim noseya achareihem. What, the land of Egypt came to them? The geographical location was coming towards them? No. Who were coming toward them? The Egyptians. Mitzrayim doesn't mean the land of Egypt. Mitzrayim means the Egyptians. Whereas Eretz Mitzrayim means the land of Egypt. When a person is sitting in a certain place, when a person lives in a certain place, when a person dwells in a certain place, for a lengthy period of time, whether he likes it or not, this is the nature of the human being. He absorbs within him the spirit of the place in which he lives. You cannot deny, and you cannot get away from the fact that people who grow up in certain countries attain the characteristics which are singular to those countries. There's no difference in character between the English Jew and the English Goy as opposed to the American Jew and the American Goy. The American Jew is an extrovert. That's the Matthias. He's an extrovert. He spends his life on stage. Every American is constantly on stage. He's constantly acting. The Englishman is an introvert. That's why Americans speak loudly, Englishmen speak softly. Americans don't have manners, and Englishmen do have manners. Right? But the same is true of the English Goy and the American Goy. Because that's the Matthias. You live in a country, you pick out the characteristics of the country. An American walks past a building that collapses in front of his eyes. He's immediately taking photographs, phoning, telling everybody, he's texting, he's WhatsApping, he's this, he's that, he's tumbling, he's phoning, he's doing. The Englishman walks past and says, "Huh, that's interesting." And he carries on walking. Why? Because it's none of his business. Don't interfere in other people's business. If he wants his building to fall down, let his building fall down. That's why it was came out impossible to establish a Hatzalah in England. The guy wants to die in the middle of the street, let him die. What's it my business? It's ill-mannered to interfere He's choosing his manner of death. What's it going to do with me? Right? In America, everybody's an Atzalah. Everybody's an Atzalah. It's a major problem in America. Very big, major problem. There is nobody for Atzalah to treat because they're all in Atzalah. That's why they have to create an occasion somebody can think, please collapse so that we can do something. There's no, you can't get out of it. That is the metzias. The metzias is that a person picks up the nature of the environment in which you live. And therefore, even if he's going to leave that place and he's going to go somewhere else, he retains the characteristics. You can come from England to Eretz Yisrael, you can come from America to Eretz Yisrael, you can live here for 50 years. You're a chutznik. You're labeled. Why? Because it doesn't matter how long you live somewhere else, once you've picked up those characteristics, you've picked up those characteristics. You cannot become an Israeli. If you came from England and lived in Eretz Yisrael for 80 years, you still will not become an Israeli because you don't know how to push in a line. You don't know how to be uncouth and impolite. You don't know how to do it because it's part and parcel of your character. You say please. You say thank you. Rav Rumsky always used to say, I don't care that the Englishman is an anti-Semite. I don't even care that the Englishman, the guy he was talking about, I heard him say this many times, he said, I don't care that the Englishman stabs me in the back with a knife. But why does he have to say sorry for bothering you when he does it? Because that's the Englishman. He stabs you in the back with a knife and says, sorry for bothering you. It's part and parcel of what you pick up from the environment, and it doesn't matter where you go afterwards. Once you were born there and you grew up there, that remains with you for the rest of your life. And therefore, it's as if you never went out. Therefore, it's not enough to leave Eretz Mitzrayim. It's not enough to leave the geographical location. You have to leave Mitzrayim. You have to leave the whole spirit of what Mitzrayim represented. And that's why the Psukim keep changing between Eretz Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim. Because if you look in the Psukim and check it, you'll see that every time it's talking about Eretz Mitzrayim, it's talking about the geographical location. Every time it's talking about Mitzrayim, it's talking about the Am HaMitzri, it's talking about the spirit of what Egyptian society represented. What is Shvi Shel Pesach? Shvi Shel Pesach is the day on which Klal Yisrael crossed the Yam and said Shira. It was the day in which Yetzias Mitzrayim finished. Prior to that, there'd been a Yetzia Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. They left the geographical location of Mitzrayim. That is what the first day of Pesach represents. That's the Mikroi Kodesh of the first day of Pesach. The reason why the Torah made a second Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh is Shvi Shel Pesach represents something else. That's the second stage. That's this Yetzia from Mitzrayim. That's when they understood all of a sudden that we're different, we're an Am Segula. That's why by Pesach there's 2 days of Yom Tov in the Yom Tov of Pesach, because there's 2 Pekidas, there's 2 Geulas going on here. What was the Tafkid of Aaron in the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Lichura, all that Aaron was a peh for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't act as a spokesman. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't articulate. So therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he heard Moshe Rabbeinu's taina that I don't want to be the goyel because I am not articulate, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, okay, I'll solve the problem. I'll send with you your brother. He's articulate. He'll do the talking for you. We don't find anywhere in the Torah Aaron speaking to Paro. What do we find in the Torah? That the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, Hu yidaber hu lecha el ha'am. that Aaron will speak on your behalf to the people. In other words, we don't find anywhere in the Torah that Aaron spoke to Parai on behalf of Moshe. On the contrary, we find that Aaron spoke to Klal Yisrael on behalf of Moshe. Says the Ran in his Sefer of Drushas, that the Medrash says that the Ribbono Shel said to Moshe, when Moshe argued that I'm not an ish dvorim, I'm not articulate, im ein ato ish dvorim, if you're not articulate, al tochush, don't worry about it. Why? Haloi ani borosi kolpiyo shebo'olam, I created speech. And I decided who's going to be dumb and won't be able to speak, and who's yes going to be able to speak. And even when I wanted it, I made a chamor speak. So if I want you to be articulate, tiyeh, you'll be articulate. So what's some stupid argument you're giving me, Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you're not articulate? I can do what I want. I want to make you articulate. I'll make you articulate. Ela, la'asos b'chones, ani chofes b'eit shetadaber. I want to take somebody who is not by nature articulate and to make a miracle that when he speaks on my behalf, he should be articulate. Says the Ran, that the tshuva of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu was the fact that you are a kvad peh, the fact that you are a kvad loshon which somehow disturbs your articulacy, that's not something which is b'mikre. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. If I wanted, I would have made you into a very, very, very articulate person. But because I didn't want, therefore you are somebody who is not articulate. Therefore, why did I make you not articulate? Because I want that everybody should see this great miracle that Shechino medaberes mitegreino shel Moshe. That when Moshe is speaking, it's not Moshe speaking, it's really the Shechino speaking. Says the Ram, ve'im kol ze. After we've explained all this, b'yais kosher le'Moshe sheyedaber im Parai, because it was difficult for Moshe to speak to Parai, b'yais ha'orel sfasayim, Nasana Hashem is Baruch is Aaron and Metorgamon. Which means that, as far as the Ran is concerned, when it came to Parai, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Aaron to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gesture. But in reality, he was unnecessary. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you will miraculously speak, it will be Shechino mitoch groincha that will be speaking. But that's in reference to Parai. Speaking to Am Yisrael, there, the Pasuk says, Mefurish, that Aaron was appointed to speak to Am Yisrael, not Moshe. Therefore, when we're talking about the Shlichus of Moshe to Am Yisrael, the Pasuk puts Aaron before Moshe. Because that was Aaron played the major role. When the Pasuk, which is talking about the Shlichus to Parai, puts Moshe before Aaron, because Aaron was the major role. And that's why the Pasuk finishes up. Who Aaron and Moshe? Asher Omar Hashem Lohem Yitzuas B'nei Yisrael Me'er Mitzrayim, because it's talking about the Shlichus to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, that's why it says, L'haitzias b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. Because it's talking about Am Yisrael, whereas by connects up with Parai, that was Melech Mitzrayim. There is a tefillah that a lot of us say. Some of us don't because we're too busy prancing around the bima. But some of us actually say this and think about what we're saying. And I don't know if any of you ever bother actually reading the Chododi, understanding it, or you're too busy trying to work out what mistake the Baal Tefillah is going to make in the next couple of notes that he sings, or you're holding already by Yisairi, and you still can't work out what niggun he's singing. But we say something very interesting. We're talking about the Geula here. Mikdash Melechim Melucha, Kumitzi Miteich Afeicha. Go out of your situation, which is the opposite to what it should be. Rav Loch Sheves Bei Mekabocha, Vehu Yachmol Alayachem. It's all talking about Yerushalayim. Hisnari Meyofo Kumi, Livshi Bigdei Sifar Teichami, Al Yad Ben Yishai Beis Alachmi. And then we say, Korva El Nashi, the Rebbein Shalom should draw close to our Nefesh, Ge'ola, and redeem it. What does that mean? We're talking about Yerushalayim the whole time. We're talking about Gula. We're talking about the Gula of Klal Yisrael from Golas coming back to Yerushalayim. And then we finish up and we say, Korva El Nashi, Ge'ola. And also, Rebbein Shalom, besides that, besides Yerushalayim, besides Eretz Yisrael, Kova El Nashi Geula. What about our own personal Geula? Because there is a concept which exists, and the Sifrei Chassidus talk about this at great length, that Golus Mitzrayim and Geulus Mitzrayim represent all types of Golius, including the individual Golus that every Jew goes through in his own personal life. Every Jew in his own personal life, there's a period of Golus and there's a period of Geula. Golus means not feeling at home, not feeling in the right place, not feeling that I'm accomplishing, not feeling that I'm doing what I should be doing. And it manifests itself in all sorts of directions. It manifests itself in depression. It manifests itself in lack of action. It manifests itself in a feeling of I can't be bothered, and even if I could be bothered, what for? There are all sorts of manifestations of what in the Chassidische Sforim is called the personal golus of every single Jew. And every Friday night when a Jew says Lachododi, he's mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should take him out of his own personal golus. But there's two yitzias from golus. Because golus, as we said, consists of two parts, and therefore Geula consists of two parts. There's Golus, which is a Golus me avdus l'cheiris. A person in his own personal life can be in Golus, and the factors which are causing that Golus are twofold, but he doesn't realize it. He doesn't realize that in order to get out of it, there's a necessity of a Goyal Emes. And a Goyal Emes is interdependent upon a Pekida Kfula. There has to be a Pekida Kfula. And the Pekida Kfula is one may Abdus Lecheiris. It's true. A person has to feel independent. A person has to feel that he functions with a purpose. He's not a slave. He's not every day doing the same rote thing for no reason and no reason at all. And the definition of Avdus Mitzrayim was non-productive slavery. That was the whole definition. There was absolutely nothing. Everything they were doing was for no purpose whatsoever. They were building buildings that were immediately collapsing. That's Avdus L'Chairis in a person's life as well. A person very often feels that I'm building and it's collapsing, and I'm building and it's collapsing. But that type of Avdus L'Chairis, there's a goyle for that. And the goyle for that, there are various methods of being goyle a person. If he can get the kelim, which will allow him to be equipped to dealing with that problem of Avdus L'Chairis, then he'll be able to get out of it. And there are vehicles of attaining that. Sometimes it needs professionals to help you, sometimes it just needs someone to talk to, sometimes it just needs thinking. There are all different ways the person can get the kelim to be going out of this L'Chairis. But at the end of the day, it's not going to help for the Jew. Because the Jew is part and parcel of Am Sgulo. The Jew is part and parcel of a singular nation that was placed in this world to do a certain function and a certain objective. And the function and the objective that the Jew was placed in this world to do is Torah and Mitzvot. And therefore, Jews are constantly unhappy. And they're constantly looking for a function and a purpose in life. Which is why Jews always played a major role in every single era of history, in every single type of movement that arose, which thought that it had the answer to the spiritual problems of the world. Because it's the Jew who, by definition, is looking. Because the Jew, by definition, is a chelik of singularity. He's a chelik of uniqueness, and he knows it. Because his nefesh elikis tells him that the whole time. And the only way that a person will achieve that geula is if he involves himself in Torah and in mitzvahs. We're always looking for eitzes. And we're always giving ourselves eitzes, and the eitzes always are the pekida rishayna, the avdus l'chairis. I'll stop. I'll make a break for 2 days. And I'll forget about everything that happened beforehand. And I'll start again as a Ben Chayrin. Doesn't help. Why not? Because if it's not together with the Am Segula, then the 2 days just turn you into an Eved. Not an Avdus of non-function, but an avdus of not knowing what my objective is. Just trying to get myself to function isn't enough. I have to try and get myself to function, and to function in Torah and to function in mitzvahs. And to function in Torah and to function in mitzvahs, the only way a person gets that is by being involved in Torah and by being involved in mitzvahs. It doesn't come any other way. Once a person is involved in Torah, he's involved in mitzvahs, he's learning, and he's been Mekayim mitzvahs, and he still has a problem with his golus of Me Avdus L'Chairus, then we can start worrying about that. But not the other way around. It has to start always with the Am Segula, and then to worry about the Avdus L'Chairus.